KFI Z News time is 10:11, 11 minutes past 10 o'clock as we kick off hour number three of Fond du Lac today here on this Thursday. It's July 6th of 2021. Happy Tuesday to you here on KFI Z. We appreciate your ears along with us here as we start up the week here this morning. News Talk 1450. Always fun to talk about some local history. We're joined by Tracy Reinhardt from the Fond du Lac County Historical Society to teach us a little bit more about something from our past here in the Fond du Lac area. Tracy, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Good morning. Trying to stay cool like everybody else.
Yes, yes. We are glad to be inside the air-conditioned studios here this morning. That is for sure.
But absolutely.
65 though tomorrow, so from 90 to 65. That's I guess a Wisconsin Wisconsin switcheroo there for you.
Right.
We're gonna talk about something interesting here this morning. It is speaking of colder things. December 1928, Wisconsin Magazine issue from that time period actually featured Fond du Lac, and it's always neat to look back at you know, historical magazines and pictures and books and stuff like that. But I'm sure that was something interesting to take a look at, this December 1928 issue of the Wisconsin Magazine.
Actually, there were 30 pages about Fond du Lac in this. And as I started to read the article, it seems like the magazine must have held a contest of the better cities in Wisconsin. And Fond du Lac didn't make a showing. So it says it did not win the conspicuous place in the better cities. So they must have really revved it up and said, hey, but you got to feature us in your magazine at some time, because they must have featured the other winning cities. Mm-hmm. And so there is at least a 30-page article here on the different aspects of Fond du Lac. What's astonishing is there are like four different sections, four different articles. The first one, of course, is why folks like to live in Fond du Lac. And that's the section that says, oh, well, they didn't win a place, but Fond du Lac is still a good city to live in, and here's why. So then it talks a little bit, there's a picture of the old Carnegie Library, picture of our old courthouse, lots of great things. But what really astonished me is that it seems like all of the prominent businessmen in Fond du Lac submitted a photograph of themselves and a brief business biography, and that's all included in this article. And to understand the scope of that contribution, there are 170 portraits of Fond du Lac businessmen. 170 different businessmen submitted a portrait and a business biography. So you're going to see a lot of the names that you regularly probably remember. And remember, this is 1928. So we've got a picture of an O'Brien. There's a picture here. You recognize the name of Oscar Hulsman, who founded KFIZ. Mm-hmm. We've got a photo of J.F. Ahern, Emory Martin, William Titus. Now, William Titus actually was born in Eden, and he went on to head the Wisconsin Historical Society, and he wrote a lot of great articles about Fond du Lac history. Then there's a picture of F. Ryan Duffy, obviously before he became Senator Duffy from the state of Wisconsin. One of the pictures of someone I've never seen but whose name I recognize, there's a photograph in here of Louis Peake. Now, I just about fell off my chair when I find this picture of Louis Peake, because Louis Peake is one of those guys that if you're interested in Fond du Lac history, you want to kind of throttle Louis Peake. Mm-hmm. Because he was a minister in the Presbyterian Church, But this guy is going down in Fond du Lac history for having the most atrocious handwriting that I have ever seen. And his records are almost illegible. He's terrible. And he was a minister in a church. And so those church records must be horrid at the time he was the minister. What makes it 10 times worse is that for 30 years, and I'm saying 30 years, he was the sextant for Rienzi Cemetery and recorded all those burials.
Oh, wow.
That's when I first got to know his handwriting. It is atrocious. It is horrible. And you just cannot read what he's trying to write unless you take at least a couple of days studying everything he's written, and then pretty soon you start to recognize a T. I mean, you can't even recognize when he crosses a T. It's terrible. So all of a sudden, I'm staring at a picture of Lewis Peake. So then I had to check what was written about his biography. And it turns out, because I've always had this question about what this guy was really like, he was a Presbyterian minister for only about 11 years. And then he quit being a minister. He just quit. And I can recall, because when I was researching The Night the Churches Burned, his sermon after that fire was one of the most unique ones that I've ever read, because he was practically yelling at his congregation. And actually, his church did not burn. And yet he's yelling at his congregation about how many more warnings do we have to get. He was on a roll trying to convince his congregation to tear down their wooden church and build a new brick edifice. So his sermon sounds like he was disappointed that his church didn't burn down that night, too. That's the impression you get. And he was just railing at them. And within 2 years, he not only left the Presbyterian church as their minister, he quit ministry altogether. And that's when he went on and actually became the sexton at Rienzi. So for 30 years, you can't read his handwriting. It's terrible. So I actually use it during some of my talks to show people how difficult it can be to try and read old, to find old history and history records.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other sections in this article is the second chapter they wrote is Fond du Lac County starts a move for a countywide park system. So there's a photograph of Columbia Park. It looks like some groundbreaking or there's people trying to start a county park there at Columbia. And the article is a really nice one about the different efforts to have a countywide park system. The third chapter in this whole article about Fond du Lac County is called The Founding of One of Badgerland's Principal Trading Centers. So this doesn't talk about the trade as more as it talks about the founding and the formation in the early days of the Fond du Lac Land Company and how they built that first, what we now call the first house in Fond du Lac.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole chapter there on the history of the founding of Fond du Lac. Then the fourth chapter, which might get a few people's attention in today, is called Develop 140 Acres of Lakefront into Beauty Spot for the City. This details the move to start and create Lakeside Park. And it has an interesting history to it because it actually names the gentleman who first probably tried to get the ball rolling to turn that into a park. And it sounds like he didn't live long enough to see it happen. But they give credit in this article, whoever they interviewed, to the late B.F. Sweet. Mm-hmm. He was one of the first mayors of Fond du Lac. The Sweets had a wagon and sleigh company where they made their fortune. But he's the one who first started and planted the idea of creating Lakeside Park. Mm-hmm. And they give credit to him, to, you know, they wanted to, it was all marsh, so they wanted to reclaim that marshland. It really gives a history of, for the 1928 viewpoint, and it talks a little bit about how it started, who purchased the first land, and they purchased 80 acres then from C.J. L. Meyer, and it names a few people who were in on the beginning of the park. So it gives a really, really great history of the founding of Lakeside Park, calling it one of the most beautiful parks here in the area. At the end of this article, and I don't know how, there's only one article, more or less, about a business in Fond du Lac, and because the rest of this is just all about the people, about the men, all 170 of them, but there is one little article about one particular business, and that's, well, at the time, it's the J.E. Burke Company, and at the time, Burke was a sole manufacturing product were radiators for your home. It wasn't playground equipment. It was radiators for your home. Hmm. So there's an article about their great radiator business and how ugly old radiators were, and they make nice, beautiful radiators, things of that nature. So that's the one and only business that they expanded upon and wrote a feature article about. The rest of this article is almost all these men. And it's all men and one widow. The next chapter, the fifth chapter, is called A City Which Boasts of Great Diversity in Its Educational Advantages. And so that chapter is just a little bit about the schools and the churches that are here in Fond du Lac, and that it had two academies for young women and other institutions that add culture to community life. So it expands a little bit on that, the public school system and the senior high school. It also talks about Grafton Hall and St. Mary Springs Academy. So it goes into depth as to what was really new in that 1928 time period. And then the very last chapter is called, got to turn my page here. It is called Agriculture and Industry, Key Stones of Prosperity for Fond du Lac. And that section really had a pretty nice article about the Presbyterian Church's men's club that had over 675 members. And that, to me, is still astonishing that a men's club had 675 members, and every other month they did community things. Once a year, they would hold a big dinner where the men would do all the cooking and treat the ladies to a big evening out meal. And it was open to everybody. Mm-hmm. But a men's club of that size really warranted an article in this magazine. 675 people in a church group is kind of astonishing. Mm-hmm. And the only other person that kind of blew me of the 170 portraits, there's also a picture here of H.H. Dodd, and he was a gentleman who lived during the Civil War. He was young during the Civil War, but he was an anarchist. He and his friends would blow up Union supply trains. At one time, they were finally caught and tried, and they were actually all found guilty of treason. Hmm. They were at least H.H. Dodd was sentenced to be hung, you know, a Benedict Arnold kind of story. Mm-hmm. While they were awaiting appeal, he escaped, came to Fond du Lac, where Fond du Lac promptly elected him mayor. I finally have a picture of him. I never had a picture before. What happened, though, is they won their appeal in the United States Supreme Court, mm-hmm. which said the military cannot court-martial civilians. Mm. So they got off. So even though they blew up supply trains, they got off. So it's really, really interesting to see all these pictures. It's a great, great history of how they viewed Fond du Lac in 1928.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. 30 pages for 1928. That has to be pretty substandard, I would imagine.
It was the whole magazine.
Okay, yeah. That's true. Yeah, there was nothing else to include.
Right. So, but it's very interesting when we have the original magazine in the library, and so I made some photocopies of it, so that if people want to come in and read some of these biographies, I think I want to make an index to all the men here so that we know, because some of these names are not very familiar.
Sure.
You know, but they were very prominent in their day.
Excellent. Tracy, thanks as always. Have a great...
Sure.